The church and our society face many challenges in today's world. Every 24 seconds in the United States, a baby's life is ended through abortion. Did you know that 18% of women in the United States that have had abortions are teenagers? Did you know that 50% of unplanned pregnancies occur inside the church, and that 65% of all abortions occur in women who are between 18 and 27 years of age? Our society encourages women who are pregnant to choose death for their unborn child. How can the church more effectively address this challenge? In a recent letter written by Dr. James Lamb, the executive director of Lutherans for Life, he said that one young woman wrote him and said, "If just one person would have told me not to have the abortion, I wouldn't have. But no one did. The church needs to speak up and apply the law and gospel to life issues. Those that have experienced an abortion need to hear the hope of the gospel preached and taught within the church. Why? Because abortion is not the unforgivable sin." Join us today on Family Shield as I interview Dr. James Lamb. Our topic, abortion and the church. This is Kay Meyer, president of Family Shield Ministries. Thanks for listening. On the phone lines with me is Dr. James Lamb. Thank you for joining me today, Dr. Lamb.
Hello.
Dr. Lamb, we are coming up on what we call Life Sunday, kind of a remembrance that God loves life. 39 years in our country since Roe versus Wade was enacted, and 54 million lives that have been slaughtered since that law became went into effect that many years ago. Is that about right?
Yes, that's the number that's often quoted, 54 million.
Wow.
It's one of those numbers, it's just hard to understand what it is. I did a little work with some populations, and I realized that number is equal to the population of 22 of our states west of the Mississippi River.
Oh, my. Yeah. Yeah, it always helps us to put it into a perspective that makes more sense. It's just such an unbelievable number. It's hard to imagine. Each of those babies were special and precious. God had created them, and we don't know what we have lost in our country. As far as, 39 years, my son Jeff, who passed away, would have been 34 on January 22nd. He was our special child because he was born on that day. But he was also kind of a surprise to us. We loved him dearly, and he wasn't a special child. He was, but anyway, I was just thinking of that on the way here. Roe versus Wade has been enacted 39 years this January, and yet we within the body of Christ that care about life still fight for these things to be repealed. But we don't want to necessarily talk about political issues today, but we are talking about life because God loves life. Let's just begin, Dr. Lamb, by asking you just a little bit about why we as Lutherans and as members of the body of Christ that know Christ as our Savior, why we're for life. Tell us.
Well, yes, because we are for life for a bit different reason than perhaps others might be. We're not just for life, for example, because we live in a society that isn't, which we do. I mean, generally speaking, our society continues to devalue life, whether it's through abortion or embryonic stem cell research or assisted suicide and euthanasia. Our society continues to turn to death as a solution to their problem. So we live in a society that devalues life, but that's not the primary reason that God's people are for life. It's because He is. Mm-hmm. A short way of putting that is we're not for life just because life is precious. We're for life because life is precious to God.
To God,
And that's what moves us, and that's what drives us to uphold the God-given value of human life, and then to strive to influence our society to do the same.
You bet. You bet. Well, we're going to talk most of the day today about abortion and the church, because we have so much we need to do to make sure that everyone understands that God is for life, but especially for a woman or a man that has gone through an abortion, to understand that God forgives. And one of the things I said in the introduction that you didn't have a chance to hear is that those that experience an abortion need to hear the hope of the gospel preached and taught within the church. And then I said, why? Because abortion is not the unforgivable sin. There is forgiveness. And we want all people, those within the church and out of the church, to know that. Talk a little bit about that important aspect of sharing and preaching the truth.
Well, yes, you talked about the connection between, you know, the church and abortion, and that's what we're focusing on here. And this year, see, that comes together because January 22nd, the anniversary of the Supreme Court decision that effectively legalized abortion, that falls on a Sunday. Mm-hmm. So they converge this year, and we come face to face with it in our churches. And so God's people, we're called to do two things. And you touched on the one, and I'll get to that in a second. But we're called to do two things. As you said, we're called to proclaim the truth. And part of that truth is to call wrong things wrong. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the reasons that we live in a society that no longer sees things like abortion and assisted suicide as being wrong is because the church has been so silent in calling these things wrong. And if we're not going to do it, you see, no one else is. Mm-hmm. So we have to call these things wrong. We have to let our people understand that they're wrong, because our people out there in society, the message out there is that these things are not just that they're okay, but they're actually good and desirable, a solution to a problem. And so the church needs to counter that. And our silence isn't neutral. As we know, silence is always affirmation. So if we're silent about it, our people are getting the message that it must be okay. Mm-hmm. So we have to call wrong things wrong, so people in general will know that this is wrong. And for us as Christians, it's wrong, not just because it takes a human life, but because it takes a human life that God himself created and for whom Jesus died, a life that he wants to call into this eternal relationship with him, as he does every life. So for us as Christians, it goes even deeper than just the destruction of a human life, but it's actually an affront to the author and redeemer of life. Mm-hmm. As well. So that's one aspect of this truth that we're called to proclaim and to share, call wrong things wrong. However, God's word is very clear in terms of why we call wrong things wrong, and that's because we want to lead people to an understanding of what God in Jesus Christ has done about the wrong things we do in our lives. And so that's the other part of that message. And all of us need to hear that, because the Bible's clear that we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of the glory of God, and we all deserve his eternal punishment. But the Bible is very clear that he sent his son. He's taken that punishment for us. Mm-hmm. And through faith in him, we're freed from the fear of that punishment. And now we can live as his people. You know, the Bible says he covers us with the holiness, the righteousness, the goodness of Jesus. And so when God looks upon us, he sees Christ. And this is just a wonderful way to live. So I don't know if we have anybody listening out there who doesn't understand what God has done for them in Christ. I just invite you to turn to the scriptures or find a church and to understand that, wow, you have been redeemed. Christ has already died for you. And he's just waiting for you to call you and to bring you to the knowledge of that truth as well. And now we can take this wonderful truth of our cleansing in Jesus and apply it to these life issues. You know, Jesus is not just this religious figure who died to take away our sins so we can go to heaven. That's primarily the aspect. But because he did, he's not going to forsake those for whom he has given his life. And so we can be assured that he is someone who is with us and loves us right in the midst of our struggles and our problems. And for those who have sinned against life, that is particularly a difficult sin to deal with because of the nature of that sin. It's just so contrary to nature for a woman to have her child aborted and for a man, the father of that child, to insist upon the abortion of his son. That's just contrary to nature and how God has made us and put us together. And when that reality hits in for those men and women who've involved in that decision, it's absolutely crushing.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible tells us that God's law is written in our hearts.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we do something against his law, we all know about that. It's called our conscience, and we've all had that conscience speak to us and that guilt. But to participate in a decision that results in the death of your own child, that is a guilt that we can't come close to unless we've actually been there. But, you see, as you've said, it doesn't matter because Christ died for every sin. And in God's eyes, there's no sin greater than any other.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church has a responsibility to help those who are really hurting because of this particular sin to see that Jesus Christ died for them too. In fact, I think we can make a point to say that Jesus died especially for them because, you know, the Bible is just full of passages where we're told how Jesus came for the least of these. He came for the vulnerable. You know, he hung out with prostitutes and cheaters and adulterers. He came for the most vulnerable. Of course, we're all that way, but sins against life, boy, they're harder to deal with. They just need this good news applied to them.
You know,
boy, you really got me going on that.
Yeah,
one.
No. While you were speaking, I was thinking of a story that a friend of mine told me. She was in her late 50s when she helped care for her mother while her mother was dying. And her mother had never come to faith in Christ. She could never figure out why. Finally, just, you know, months before she died, living in her daughter's home, her mother told her that before she had been born, she had had an abortion. And she never felt that God would ever forgive her for that sin. And this woman, who is just a wonderful Christian, was able to share the forgiveness of Christ with her mother, and so, you know, before her mother died, she had placed her faith in Christ and had been forgiven. But there, this lady was in her 80s, and she had carried that sin, that regret, that guilt, all of those years, saying, "God can't possibly forgive me because of what I did." And what you just shared, we want to say again, because many of our listeners are not churched people, God will forgive them, won't he, Dr. Lamb?
Yes. Our Lord tells us in his word that he wants all be saved to come to the knowledge of his truth. He desires that for everyone. Every human being is someone that God created, knit together, the Bible says, in our mother's womb by the hands of God. This wonderful picture that God is intimately involved in the creation of every human being. And every human being is someone for whom Jesus died and shed his blood. Whether you know that or not, it's true.
Mm-hmm.
And every human being is someone God desires to call into this eternal relationship with him. So that means everybody out there listening to us right now is special. They're created, they're redeemed, and God wants to call them. he loves them tremendously and desires to have this relationship with them. What God has done gives value to every life. And one of the things we love to do at Lutherans for Life is to apply that and make that connection for people to the life issues.
You bet. I want to make some announcements, and then we want to spend the rest of the time talking about what the church needs to do. Sometimes the church does what it's supposed to do, and sometimes they're silent, and we're going to talk a little bit more about that after the announcements. Each week, Family Shield offers a booklet or resource to our radio listeners. This week, we're offering Forgiveness is Forgiving. To receive a free copy, call the Family Shield Response Center at 1-877-317-4326. We encourage you to sign up to receive the Family Shield email newsletter on our homepage at www.familyshieldministries.com. You can also connect with Family Shield through Facebook and Twitter. Family Shield is hosting its annual trivia night, because life isn't trivial, in partnership with Our Lady's Inn on Saturday, January 28th. Here in St. Louis, Missouri. If you'd like more information, call Jessica at 314-351-4590. You can also find a flyer about this on the Family Shield website under special events. All funds raised support life. Family Shield is a listener-supported radio program. Your prayers and financial support are needed so that we can continue to pay for production, airtime, and the distribution of this program to 50 stations in 25 states. You can send your donation to Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. My guest is Reverend James Lamb. We're talking about abortion and the church. And before we go back to our discussion, I'd like Dr. Lamb to just share a little bit about how our listeners can get some of the wonderful resources that Lutherans for Life have available. Dr. Lamb, can you tell our listeners a little bit about where they can access some of the resources of Lutherans for Life?
Certainly. Easiest, quickest way is to go to our website, and that's lutheransforlife.org. That's all spelled out, lutheransforlife.org. And there you can find information on the life issues themselves, and I'll be able to hit a link that'll take you to Concordia Publishing House, who handles all of our materials, and be able to browse through the variety of materials that we have, not just on abortion, but end-of-life resources, resources that help people deal with advance directives, living wills, those kinds of things, materials for our young people to help them make good choices so they never get in a situation where they have to face a life and death kind of choice, materials even for small children, because we don't talk to them about abortion, but we do talk to them about how special they are and how valuable they are from the very moment of conception because of what God has done for them. So a whole variety of resources. And one particular resource I want to mention, in light of what we've been discussing about the sin of abortion and how it crushes so many folks, is that we have a special hotline called Word of Hope. Mm-hmm. And if there's anybody out there listening who is struggling right now with the sin of abortion in their past, and maybe you don't belong to a church and you're not sure where to go to deal with your struggle, we have a toll-free number, 888-217-8679. 888-217-8679. That's our Word of Hope hotline. And you will receive a word of hope when you make that call. You will be placed with a professional Christian counselor who's been dealing with these kinds of issues for years and years and years. So I invite anyone who has questions about this or struggling themselves, please give that number a call.
Yeah, thank you so much, Dr. Lamb. We're going to continue talking the rest of the program. I want to kind of focus on Life Issues and the Pulpit. It's a booklet that you wrote pastors, and we don't have time to deal with all of it. And I think you wrote it because although pastors know and understand the law and gospel and how important it is to apply it, we have some pastors that never seem to speak about life issues. You talked a little bit earlier about the silence, but just share a little bit about why it is so important that our pastors share this message inside the church.
Well, you know, pastors are wonderful folks. They're called by God into this special servant position to serve God's people in a very special way. And pastors have to deal with so many things these days. You know, I was in the parish ministry for 14 years before becoming director of Lutherans for Life, and I've been doing this for almost 16 years now. So I understand that pastors deal with so many, many things, so many issues going on in their congregation. Their members are bombarded by all the messages that come from the world and our society. So they have a lot of things to deal with. And pastors, in general, you know, they're human beings like everybody else, and they want to please people. They want people to like them. And so it's often difficult to get up and talk about things that can be divisive and controversial. And certainly, in our society today, just to say the word abortion raises all kinds of issues in people's lives. And within a congregation itself, it truly can be divisive. So in that respect, I can understand why pastors might want to shy away from that. On the other hand, pastors have what it takes to deal with these issues of life and death. And we've talked about that, and that's this good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the truth that he has given us in his word. And because abortion is, again, more than just killing an unborn child, it's destroying something created and deemed by God, that makes these issues spiritual issues. And therefore, it's not that the church should deal with them. The church is compelled to deal. Pastors then are compelled to visit with their people, talk to their people, teach their people, preach to their people about these issues. And to do so, not in a screaming and yelling kind of way, but proclaiming the truth and doing that in love and letting folks, calling wrong things wrong. Pastors should not be ashamed to do that. We're called to do that. And then again, leading to Christ and what he's done about wrong things. I tell pastors that we have the most powerful and positive, life-affirming, for-life message in the universe in what God has given us. And so we have a wonderful opportunity as pastors to apply that to these issues, because whether pastors know it or not, there are people in their pews who are hurting and struggling with all kinds of life issues. It might be an abortion in their past. It might be a daughter, teenage daughter, unmarried, who's pregnant. It might be grandma in the nursing home bed, and they got to make choices about a feeding tube. All of these things, we're not immune to those. Those of us who sit in pews on Sunday morning, we're not immune to all these things. And we need to hear our pastors applying God's word to them, that we can be given hope and direction and help as we struggle with these issues.
And so we've got just a few minutes left. So abortion, as we look at it from a church-related focus, is not just a social issue, which some people think that's all it is, but it's a theological issue, and you make that distinction in this Life Issues and the Pulpit. We have about 2.5 minutes left, Dr. Lamb.
Okay. Yeah, it's good to limit me, Kay. That's yeah, they are theological, spiritual, biblical issues, however you want to phrase that, because one example I use in the little article I wrote is that our people out there, they're being led to turn to death as a solution to their problems. If you think about it, that's what abortion is.
Yes.
It's death as a solution to a problem, or assisted suicide is death as a solution to a problem. and people are turning to death for help and for good and to rescue them. And that's idolatry. You know, Scripture says that we're to turn to God. He is our Savior. He is our rescuer. Anything we turn to for more help and hope than Him, that becomes our God. And so I think, and I've had pastors say this to me, you know, wow, you know, I've never looked at it that way before. And I think when our pastors understand that and see that, then they'll realize that yes, we are to deal with these things, and we're already equipped to deal with, because we know how to deal with theological issues mm-hmm. based on the Word of God.
Absolutely. That's great. My guest again has been Dr. James Lamb. Any other real short comments that you have before we get ready to close the program? I wish we had an hour, Dr. Lamb. It's just gone way too fast. We have one minute left, so just you can say something in 30 seconds. You're a pastor.
Well, sure. I thank you and Family Shield for all that you do, upholding life in so many arenas, because all of these things, all these family issues are interconnected. And I just want to impress upon your listeners to think about not just the value of life, but this innate value that life has because of what our God has done as our Creator and our Redeemer and one who wants to call us as His children. Uh-huh. That's what gives every life value.
Very great. 30 seconds left. Dr. James Lamb, my guest today. I just want to let our listeners know again that they can call for the booklet, 1-877-317-4326. It's entitled Forgiveness is Forgiving. And we thank you for listening. We're glad you were able to join us today. We hope you will join us again next week. And again, this is Kay Meyer with Family Shield.
You've been listening to Family Shield, a radio production of Family Shield Ministries. Its mission is to educate and equip people to know Christ, grow in His Word, and strengthen individuals and their families. To learn how you can obtain resources or support the ministry, go to www.familyshieldministries.com or write Family Shield Ministries, P.O. Box 230015, St. Louis, Missouri 63123. Or call 1-877-317-4326. A CD of today's program is available upon request. Tune in next week for more Family Shield.